of the nature of man, he has this wujdan, this kind of judge inside him, yes, or herself. That's why finally, at the end of the day, what he receives is a kind of punishment. Even he himself punishes himself. Because of what? Because this nafs, this soul is always there, always with him, always reminding him of all those wrong things that he did. That is why if you look at the history, you will not find any, let's say, oppressor who will be happy in the whole life, particularly at the end of their lives.
Okay.
This, if you go to the dictators, to the oppressor, for example, kings, yes, let's say leaders in the history, if you go and study about them, you see that all of them either been punished by their opponents, mm-hmm, or even if they were not punished, the end of their life were the most bad and evil life. And it is the thing that we see in the life of all the oppressors. For example, in our time, we saw Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
Saddam Hussein oppressed.
Yes.
Brutally, mercilessly, let's say horribly, we can say, the poor people of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw what happened to this dictator at the end of his life, you know?
Okay.
Or Gaddafi, or many other, let's say, oppressors here and there. We've seen, or the King Reza Khan, for example, in Iran, we can say. Look what happened to them. It tells us this fact that being oppressor, performing oppression on the innocent people, on the poor people, will not have a good result.
Yes.
For the oppressor. This is what we see.
And so many other examples. For example, in the Arab Spring, we could see in so many of the Arab countries, Muslim,
yeah,
countries.
Yes.
For example, yes. Gaddafi was the other one, for example. And so many other dictators as the cruel
Pinochet,
ones.
Pinochet, for example.
Yeah.
And we see,
yes,
all of them in our time. If,
yes,
you go back to the previous
history
centuries,
Islam,
yeah,
yes,
there are lots of examples, yes.
And before that, in the previous generations, you know, we could see the stories of pharaohs and the,
yeah,
kings,
exactly,
you know, of all the times, whether Greek, Roman, Persian, or, for example, that's right, Egyptian ones, you know, all of them somehow were, that's right, they answered for all their oppressions that they did during their own time. Adolf Hitler, for example,
exactly,
of the contemporary time.
That's only in this life.
Yes.
And they should wait the real punishment in the hereafter life, which is everlasting kind of punishment.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Okay.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glory to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
But since they are powerful and they have power, the people might have a superficial look at their lifestyle, isn't it? Because, for example, they could amass wealth or they could become rich. And usually the young generation, you know, are easily deceived by such a superficial look at their lives, Shaykh.
You know, apparently it seems that they have very superficial life with lots of, for example, facilities, yeah, in,
yes,
their life, luxury,
yes,
life. They are enjoying a lot. Let me tell you this story, which is really beautiful, about Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
It is said that Alexander the Great once was victorious. He conquered lots of new, let's say, lands, areas, countries. And he was coming back to Greece from these lots of conquerors and victories that he had. And he was very much happy. Then he reached a place where a hakim and a wise man was living by the name Diogenes or Diogen.
Okay. Yes.
And then when he approached the cave in which the Diogen or Diogenes was living,
mm-hmm,
he told all the army members, commanders, let's say, the officials, that today I want to gift this Divijanus whatever he wants from me. Mm-hmm. Because today I want to do a very great kind of job in the history to be recorded that Alexander the Great did such a thing with this Hakim. Mm-hmm. That's why he approached the cave and asked Hakim that, okay, Divijanus, today I'm very much happy, I'm very much proud of myself because I have lots of victories. And I have lots of golds, lots of servants, lots of new lands, areas. I'm really happy, and I want to today to do a favor for you. Mm-hmm. Please ask me. Whatever you ask me today, I will provide you with that.
Okay.
For example, if you want to rule over new, let's say, countries, nations, I will appoint you as a king of those areas. If you want, for example, gold, silvers, mm-hmm. money,
yes.
If you need, for example, beautiful girls, servants, mm-hmm. whatever, I'm ready to provide you with whatever you ask me.
Okay.
Then it is said it's very nice. Then the Divijanus came out from his cave. No, Divijanus was sitting before this cave, in front of the cave. And then Divijanus raised his hand and looked at Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was on his horse. Mm-hmm. He was riding a horse.
Okay.
He looked at him and said, really, if I ask whatever you will be provided me with, he said, yes, of course, I promise. I told all my members, my soldiers, my army, my commanders that I will do that. I will do that, absolutely. The only thing that this Divijanus asked from Alexander the Great was this, that please move a little because I am taking the bath with the sun's rays. And please just move a little
sunshine,
away.
Huh?
Yeah, move a little away. Let the sun shine.
Uh-huh.
Then Alexander the Great was shocked. Said that this is the only thing that you really want from me.
Okay.
Divijanus said, yes, this is the only thing that I want from you. Then the interpreters of this event interpreted this very beautifully. It says that Divijanus wanted to tell Alexander the Great that you are like obstacle
mm-hmm.
between the man, between the servants of God
mm-hmm.
and God.
Okay.
You are not the one that
you are a barrier.
You are a barrier, exactly.
That's right. Okay.
You should not be proud of yourself. You know, you should let the people to live freely.
Mm-hmm.
You have not the right to, for example, conquer their lands and usurp all their properties and then donate it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is the wrong thing that you're doing. Then it is said about Alexander the Great that he was really shocked and a kind of revolution mm-hmm. started in his own mind.
That's right.
That look, this man is living such a happy, prosperous, and calm life, but I am always worried, concerned about all the wrong things that I'm doing on the people, on the, let's say, the
That's
poor
right.
people. To say that after that, Alexander the Great was always trying to achieve that comfortability,
mm-hmm.
that peace, that Divijanus, the Hakim, the wise man, was enjoying. He was always telling that this kind of lifestyle in which there is kind of peace, kind of comfortability, prosperity, tranquility, I'm always seeking this thing, but I cannot find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a zalim, an oppressor or oppressive person will never enjoy a real happy life, a real, let's say, prosperous life.
Yes.
He will never achieve any kind of true tranquility or comfortability in his life.
That's right.
Apparently, it seems that their life it's a beautiful life, enjoyable life, luxury life with lots of pleasures. But in reality, if you go deep within that life, you find no room for any kind of pleasure or happiness in their lives.
That's all right. And for sure, as we said, these dictators might have a good life for the people, superficially speaking, but yeah. inside, they might experience
yeah.
so many traumas, you know,
yeah,
in their life. That's mm-hmm. all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran labani Ali wa Hussein wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Part 2.
In the 1990s, a big crime was committed in Southeast Europe, which reminded the world of the Middle Ages. The Bosniaks were killed by other groups in former Yugoslavia because they said no to the formation of Serbia and its independence, and more importantly, because they were Muslims. Genocide was committed against Bosniaks in order to cleanse the Green Continent of Muslims and consign Islam into oblivion forever. But a different fate awaited the Bosniaks. This is Sarajevo, the capital city of Bosnia and Herzegovina that shares borders with Serbia and Croatia. Bosnia and Herzegovina is a country which has survived hundreds of years of genocide and has managed to keep Islam alive by itself in Europe. One of the existing Islamic symbols in Sarajevo is a water-drinking place called Sakohone, which is located in an old neighborhood of the city. It is said that a total of 72 such places had been built in Sarajevo in memory of the 72 companions of the third Shia Imam, Imam Hussein, who were martyred during the Battle of Karbala. Currently, one of those places has turned into a cultural symbol of Bosnia and Herzegovina and its capital city. Following the Second World War, the competition between communism and liberalism resulted in the formation of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia by the Balkan countries, and that marked the beginning of a new era for Muslims in this region. With the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia witnessed changes as well, and various regions there declared independence. Slavs in Slovenia, Croats in Croatia, and Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina. But the formation of a Muslim-majority country that opposed the establishment of a Serbian government was not to the liking of European leaders. A day after a referendum on independence, a plot was hatched that caused the genocide of Muslims in this region. Muslims in Sarajevo gather in the highest part of the city, awaiting iftar when they break their fast. At dusk, artillery is fired to announce iftar, a measure that children and teenagers like very much. Artillery is fired as a sign to announce the end of the fasting month of Ramadan and the arrival of Eid al-Fitr. Those who have fasted eat their iftar meal to break their fast on the last day of Ramadan and congratulate each other on this occasion. On Eid al-Fitr morning, before sunrise, groups of people go to the venue where Eid prayer is held. A few people would forget the first time that they took part in Eid al-Fitr prayers. Fathers, hand in hand with their sons, go to the venue of the prayers to join other people taking part in the ritual. Congregational prayers at mosques as well as ceremonies to serve iftar coupled with Eid al-Fitr prayers have integrated Bosnian Muslims and they keep trying to maintain that as much as they can. Christmas and the birth anniversary of Jesus Christ is the most important festival in Europe. But in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where the majority of people are Muslims, Eid al-Fitr is and has long been the most important religious festivity. Muslims believe that death is not the end of life and that life will continue in afterworld. Based on this belief, people in Bosnia go to graveyards on Eid al-Fitr to remember and commemorate their loved ones who have died and recite parts of the Holy Quran for them. Part of celebrations on Eid al-Fitr in Bosnia, family members along with parents gather and have lunch. The meal includes foods that are made especially on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. The younger members of the family say congratulations to the elder and celebrate Eid along with them. Every year, on the second day of Eid al-Fitr celebrations, Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina hold a ceremony to commemorate war martyrs. The ceremony, during which parts of the Holy Quran are recited, is held in cemeteries where the martyrs are buried. Rasul Haydari was an Iranian military advisor who had come to Bosnia to help people there during the war. Years on, since his martyrdom, Bosnians say they still owe him a great deal, and each year they commemorate him on the anniversary of his death.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon me. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of
Youth Station.
I am Beta.
And this is Mustafa.
Yeah. And once again, we have the chance to be next to you at the Youth Generation, which I think is a pleasure to be, first of all, a candidate at this generation and then have the chance to talk to this generation.
Definitely.
And at this episode, we're going to talk about the relevance between this youth generation and their interest in religious contexts. So there should be some ways based on this fact that we're living in an era full of social medias, full of technologies, and full of actually entertainments.
Right.
So we have to use this creativity in order to make them involved with the religion. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a huge problem. I would almost describe it as a crisis among youth today. Now, if somebody wants to go and look this up, they can. There's this thing called the Four Horsemen of Atheism. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
Yeah, I've heard.
Right. In the West, you have like these four personalities that are known as the Four Horsemen of Atheists. They are spending so much money and so much time on promoting atheism. Like we promote Islam, these people actually go and promote, like, you know, the opposite
atheism,
of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And what a lot of us don't realize is that in Western media, in Western movies, TV shows, cartoons, there's like, it's entrenched in that, these type of thoughts and thinking, right? They will make fun of religion. They'll make fun of religious personalities. They'll
definitely
bring up a lot of questions,
that,
right?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a very solid base, you will easily fall into those traps.
I do agree with that.
Right?
Because sometimes, even me, that I try to go research and have my knowledge upgraded to the in this combat with the Western countries. But still, there are times that they actually fool me with these beautiful words like the freedom of speech, freedom of that.
Right.
And these sort of things are really beautiful. At the same time, inside. And the point is, there are so many things that we have to do as the youth generation and also as the society in order to keep and preserve our youth generation from all these hazards and harms.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. IRIB English Radio here. So, brother, we were talking about the ways and methods that we can save our youth generation from all these potential hazards.
Right. So, yeah, have you seen the movie Inception? I think we've talked about it before on the show.
I've seen that movie.
Right? So there's this, the idea in that movie, one of the ideas in that movie is that they go and plant ideas in people's minds, right? And one of the lines in that movie is that, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that an idea, if you plant an idea in someone's head, it's very difficult to remove it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the same way, it's really important for us to look at what type of things we're listening to and what type of ideas we're gaining from them, right? Sometimes.
Exactly.
And the way to tackle that, I would say, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't go and watch like these movies or TV shows. You know, if that's something you want to do, you should. But you need to be very strong in your mind, right? You need to be very strong that you don't fall into a lot of doubts. And if you do, then go and do the research.
Yeah.
But you might ask me then, what if somebody doesn't want to do that? If somebody doesn't like to do that, right? How do you make them do that? I'll let you answer for it. How do you think you could make someone more attracted towards, like, better ideas or better knowledge?
I get it. I believe the first step towards a certainty is doubt. So the seed of certainty is that, first of all, you have to answer. First of all, you have to question everything. You have to question your identity, your creation. Of course, there are things that our brain is too limited to answer, like the identity of Allah Almighty, which is something that we cannot touch because our brain is more limited than these kind of criteria.
Sure.
But there are things that you can ask yourselves. This is the first step in my opinion. But first of all, you have to make sure that you have the capacity and tolerance towards all these doubts. Because I have some friends that whenever they feel like they're lost, whenever they, for example, watch a philosophical movie, specifically Western ones, they feel like they're lost, they lose all their hopes, they get depressed, and all of these consequences. So first of all, you have to work on yourself in order to get resistant towards all these doubts. And, you know, you have to improve and develop this will in you in order to find the answer, not get lost in the questions.
Yeah.
And for sure, it takes time. It's a really difficult road because we're living in an era full of false information. For example, they give you a piece of right information. In the cover of that right information, there are a lot of false information. And this is the sadness of the social media era that we are living in. But still, I think we can make use of it.
Definitely. I was probably among these youth at some point, who was confused or who was sort of maybe lost because, of, you know, I grew up in an environment which was in a Western sort of environment. Inside of all of us, I think we have a desire to know the truth, right? Yeah. Every human being has that built-in desire. We would say it's, you know, in our fitra, which would be in our,
exactly.
It's in our nature, you know, that we're all searching for truth. And ultimately, what I realize is by living that sort of life, Western sort of lifestyle, it doesn't necessarily bring happiness, right?
Yeah.
It only brings temporary joy or happiness. But, you know, in the long run, what I notice in Western societies is, or not only in Western society, in any society where people are like sort of away from religion, they're not very happy.
Yeah.
Right? They look happy, but then they, once you go into their lives, you realize they have a lot of problems. They have a lot of family issues, for example.
Exactly.
Or they'll have other problems. And then you sort of realize why our religion has told us to do the things the right way. You know, why it's told us to avoid many things. So the way, for me, the way I would attract a youth today towards religion is definitely using logic and knowledge.
Yeah.
And using real life examples of people that have failed. Right? Learn from others.
Yeah.
Learn from others' mistakes.
I believe this is a good method because as a candidate from your generation, I love someone that would come to me and challenge me about my beliefs. And then he or she has the knowledge and reasoning to convince me about the thing. Because some people think that because we are young, we cannot think. It's not like that. We are not experienced
kind of
enough. Yeah, it's kind of opposite. We are not experienced enough, okay? But that doesn't mean that we cannot be convinced by reasoning. Yeah, that's the point I wanted to mention, because it happened to me a lot, that they actually felt like, okay, you're young, you don't need even to talk about these sort of things.
See, that I think that's one of the mistakes that our elders make, is that, like I said, it's kind of the opposite. I sometimes feel that our elders have closed their thinking.
Yeah.
Like, if you try to challenge them about a way, you know, their way of thinking, they're not open to that.
Exactly.
Whereas today, in today's environment, you have to be open to that, right? If you're not, you're going to suffer, right?
So, yeah, we need... So, thank you, brother, to hear we talked about this issue, which is one of the most important challenges in every society, not only Western countries, I believe, in every society that we are facing, even in Muslim countries. And so, dear listeners, let's go for a short break, then we're going to come back in a blink of an eye. back, dear listeners. So this is your station, by the way. We're talking about this issue of inviting and challenging other people, specifically use a station towards thinking more by reasoning, by use of different methods. Put the reasoning and other ways aside. How can we make use of these social medias in order to invite the youth generation into thinking?
It's a very difficult question, I think.
Yeah.
Because social media is kind of like a platform that's full of everything, right? It has good things and has bad things. And I would say there's almost like a flood of more bad things on social media versus good things.
I do agree with that.
Right? So the way you want to use social media is, again, you want to be very, very... If you're viewing social media, then you have to be very careful about what you're looking at, because it can very easily take you down like many different paths, right?
Yeah.
And the way that we try to use it is to promote our ideas and you know, our... And I wanted to come back to this, that, you know... Today's youth, the questions that they have, you know, like one of the main causes why they're going away from religion is because they're confused, right? They have confused ideas. And what they don't maybe, what I didn't maybe realize is that Islam and our religion is very strong in philosophy, right? And our question philosophical, but they're not being discussed or they're not being promoted. If those people have those questions, if they were to come and look at our philosophy, they will find the answers there many times, right? So I would say you should definitely be searching for the truth, whether it's on social media or wherever you are, and, you know, turn to those people who have the answers. Don't, like, lose hope.
Yeah, right? Exactly. This
Don't
is the
lose
point.
Hope. Yeah, yeah.
The depression that comes after those questions is because you feel like that's the end of the world. This is the complete darkness I'm getting lost in. But it's not like that. It's always someone there that will help you in order to find your answers. Islam itself is complete enough to answer all of our questions. And I think you have to give it a try, at least.
Yeah, I would say that sometimes I haven't found answers, even I've looked for them. You know, sometimes there's questions you may not be able to find answers for, by the way. For example, you know, what is God made out of? You know, even we're talking about something like, you know, there's some things like the essence, you can't reach the essence of God, you can't understand it, right? But those things that are there, you know, we need to research. That's my point. You need to go and do your research. And to make that maybe more attractive is where social media can come in, I think.
Exactly.
You know what you asked? I mean, you know, people are trying to do that. There's definitely people trying to do that.
When it's studying medicine, they tell us only one thing. There is only one principle in being successful in medicine, which is you have to have the resistance towards not understanding. I mean, there are so many times, it happens a lot to you, that you may read something, you may find your answer, but you may not be convinced, you may not be understood. Mm. You may not lose all your hopes or all your beliefs. Exactly, this is the time that you can consider it as a test for all of your beliefs and how strong they are.
The other thing I wanted to add, maybe like an advice or a tip, would be that, you know, life is short. Right? And you can't spend all your time like sort of confused or
depressed or lost.
Yeah, you're gonna die one day, right?
Yeah.
And it's really important how you spend your life.
Exactly.
And I would say look at the end result of those people that are not religious versus maybe that are religious, and you'll see the difference in the way they've led their lives.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be one way is to sort of maybe come closer to reality.
Yeah.
Right? Understand reality. If you don't understand reality, then that's where you're going to suffer, right? Because you're going to have like false hopes or false expectations,
exactly,
which are never going to be met.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas our religion is all entrenched in reality. It reminds you of reality, right? It reminds you of death. It reminds you of so many other things.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend people to read Nahjul Balagha, you know, the sermons of Imam Ali.
Nice suggestion.
Those are amazing sermons to, first of all, make you familiar with reality and inspire and motivate you.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you, brother. So, to give you the gist of today's discussion, I have to tell you that sometimes this feeling of not being interested in religion is because you are so much confused and you feel hopeless of finding your answers. My brother and I actually gave you some suggestions, mostly based on our own experiences towards this path. Wish it was helpful for you. Thank you for listening to us, and it was all the time we had for today's episode. So, wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu, ya Qayyum, nawwir qalbana.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a very important question. This question is concerned with knowledge in general, and specifically it is about what or how we should ask questions from people who we seek to acquire knowledge from so that we can get knowledge from them. Like, let's say you go to a person and a scholar, or like I say a very learned person, and you want to benefit from him and learn from him and gain some knowledge from him. What is it that you should ask him about, and how you should ask him so that you can benefit from him most? Because as you know, asking a question in a proper and a productive way is the key to knowledge, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Knowledge is a treasury, the key to which is the question." So ask Allah, and Allah will have. So ask, and Allah will have mercy on you. For verily, four people are rewarded for that question: the questioner, the speaker, the listener, and the one that admires them. So questioning is very important and significant, and it is, you know, half of the knowledge. It lies in the question and the nature of the question. The Prophet said, "The question is half of knowledge." Right. So, in this connection, fortunately, we have some verses of the Holy Quran as well as some hadith that can guide us in the right direction. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. O you who believe, do not ask about things which, if they are disclosed to you, will upset you. Yet if you ask about them while the Quran is being sent down, they will be disclosed for you. Allah has excused it, and Allah is of forgiving and of forbearing. So, basically, what we can gather from this verse of the Holy Quran is that we should not probe into questions the answers to which might burden us with a responsibility that we cannot bear, or which might be too difficult for us to understand, or the consequences of which we might not be able to fulfill and bear. We should rather only seek the knowledge of those matters which are pertinent for us and that we have the ability to, you know, to act upon and to fulfill. In this connection also, we have a blessed tradition and hadith from the Holy Prophet who said, "Leave me alone when I part your company, for verily people before you were ruined because of their persistent questioning and contradiction of their prophets. So when I command you with something, carry it out as best as possible. And when I prohibit you something, leave it alone." This is, an eye-opening tradition. Prophet says that, you know, do not probe into matters which are, of no benefit for you and, will lead to your destruction. Suffice yourself with the knowledge that you've been given, and that is good for you and beneficial for you, and that you can act upon and that you are able to fulfill. This is what we call productive questioning. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, productive questioning is half of knowledge. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at that which we should question the learned about in the light of the Quran and Hadith. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 14th, 2024. I'm Atefe Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, as I always say, Listeners Special is your program, and it's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from you, dear listeners. This time, Hemant Kumar from India has sent us reception report. Again from India, we have reception report from Bashir Ahmad, and from Muhammad Khaku from the United States, we have reception report. So, Hemant, Bashir, and Muhammad, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the reception reports. And here we've received emails from around the world, which I mention some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your emails. Bashir Ahmad from India has sent us a piece of email. Lou Dachenk, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. And from Russia, we've received an email from Anatoly Klipov. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you.
Well,
Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And old places may be beautiful for their design, but sometimes they're beautiful because of their very age, because of the mark that time has left upon them. Save Jame Mosque is one of the historical, religious, and beautiful buildings where you can see traces of three historical periods before Islam, the first centuries of the advent of Islam in Iran and the Safavid era. Isn't that interesting? Three historical periods. It's very interesting. So, before I explain more about the Save Jame Mosque in Iran, I will read one of your emails from Bashir Ahmad from India. Bashir Ahmad from India is one of our old and regular listeners who says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, hereby I would like to send you my warm greetings as always. The holy month of Ramadan is over and I would like to say happy Eid to your staff and all listeners who celebrate this blessed feast. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, to Bashir Ahmad from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. Thank you for your congratulation message on Eid al-Fitr. Actually, happy Eid al-Fitr to all Muslim listeners and to all Muslim people around the world. Bashir Ahmad from India, thank you very much for writing to us. Please accept our EQSLS confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you luck. This is Listeners Special, and I was saying, Save Jame Mosque is located in the city of Save in Markazi province, central Iran. This historical mosque is made of adobe and mud. The building of Save Jame Mosque consists of a courtyard and a dome in its southern part, two evans, a minaret, several prayer halls or shabistans, and old mihrabs decorated and built with Kufic and Sol scripts. The beautiful Iranian architecture, along with the handmade art of turquoise tiling of the dome, has doubled the beauty of the Save Mosque. Save Jame Mosque was registered in the National Heritage List close to 80 years ago. The mosque underwent renovation and reconstruction during various historical periods. Yes, this is the story of Save Jame Mosque. And here, let's see what Lu Dacheng from China says. Lu Dacheng is one of our old and regular listeners. Dear friends of English section of IRIB, actually, IRIB English Radio. Hello, I am Lu Dacheng from China. I am your loyal listener. I always listen to your programs on shortwave. I know, Islamic Republic of Iran is an Islamic country. So, I would like to say Eid Mubarak. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran. Lu Dacheng from China, thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. And thank you very much for your congratulation message on Eid al-Fitr. Eid Mubarak, thank you. In our language, in Farsi language, however, in Arabic, they also say Eid Mubarak, meaning happy Eid, happy this occasion, Eid al-Fitr. Eid Mubarak and happy Eid al-Fitr to all Muslims around the world, especially IRIB English Radio listeners. Lu Dacheng from China, thank you very much for writing to us. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to your email. Welcome back. Let me add something about the Sauve Jame Mosque. Experts believe the beautiful prayer halls and corridors of the mosque with their brick facades were built during the Seljuk era. It's more like a museum. Archaeological samples dating back to the pre-Islamic, early Islamic and Safavid eras have been unearthed by archaeologists conducting research on the mosque. The main mihrab of the mosque has vertical and horizontal inscriptions on its three walls. They are engraved with Kufi and Sulf scripts and Quranic verses. Very beautiful. You can't believe it. God bless the archaeologists of this mosque. Jame Mosque of Save is a valuable legacy in religion, architecture, painting, tiling, and ornamentation, such as plasterwork and Kufic scripts. So, I prefer to talk less so that you may travel to Iran, to Save in Markezi province and in central Iran, and visit this mosque. This historical mosque attracts tourists and pilgrims from different Islamic countries and from around the world. So just pack your suitcase and take a visit to this historical mosque, and don't forget to take a camera with yourself because it's very beautiful and you shouldn't miss the beauties of this mosque. Yes, life is short, so don't miss its countless beauties. And as I said in the introduction part of our program, Anatoly Klepo from Russia has sent us a piece of email. Let's see what Anatoly from Russia says. Dear friends, greetings from Russia. I am your regular listener. My hobby is listening to radio from different stations around the world. This email contains a report on the reception of your radio station, which will give a full assessment of audibility in Moscow. Hope my report helps. Technical service of your radio station, please confirm this reception. I would be glad to receive information about your station. Thank you. Salam and greetings from Tehran, from Iran, and from IRIB English Radio to you, Anatoly Klepo from Russia. We are grateful to you for this email. An electronic QSL will be sent to you as confirmation to this email. And as you said, of course, your reports will help us promote the quality of our programs. Thank you for that. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And you should know that the information about our station, IRIB English Radio, is available at our website at parstoday.ir/en. And there you can find the information about our radio, IRIB English Radio. Thank you again, Anatoly Klepo from Russia. And here we've come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. In this edition, we read your emails and your reception reports, and we talked about Save Jame Mosque in central Iran. We had a very good time being together. But before saying goodbye to you, I just wanted to send my warm gratitude and appreciations to those of you who have kindly sent us emails, letters, and reception reports from around the world, including Muhammad Khaku from the US, Bashir Ahmad from India, Hemant Kumar from India, and Luda Cheng from China, also Anatoly Klepo from Russia. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we explore the Islamic upbringing of children and teenagers, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today, we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed light on this important subject. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Salma. Thank you for joining us today.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
Thank you so much for being here. So another question we have over here is that why is it important for a teenager to talk about their feelings? If you could expand on that.
Yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's for a variety of reasons that in teenagers especially should discuss about their feelings, what they have. They shouldn't, you know, vent up what they feel so that they can let out in a bad way. For example, watching too many movies or going with some friends or going out and loitering, you know, in the park, or even sometimes bad habits for boys like smoking. Because they've vented inside themselves those feelings and they can't let out to anyone. So first of all, that communication gap shouldn't be there. So to have a healthy outlet of release is to talk about it. So sometimes it involves even talking about people. But you know, Islam allows that if you talk about people for the sake of the fact that you want to, resort yourself, you want to improve yourself, or you want to know where you went wrong, then you can mention those things, for example, to a person you can confide in. And there can be none better than a mother or a parent who understands these laws of Islam and knows that there is no, backbiting done over it. It's just to make them feel where they went wrong.
True.
And probably if there was some solution to it. So this is the best and most healthy outlet to release the stress and the anxiety.
Yeah, and I think what you just said, like stress is something that's really killing the youth right now. And a lot of my friends said that because of all the stress that they're bottling up, it's really making them, you know, release it in the wrong ways. And they said they can't help it. But some of my friends became Muslims and they said after, you know, seeing how we have Allah and how we have Islam that kind of caters for all of this, they show this relationship that's supposed to be made between a family. They say that we never knew this, we never heard of this, and we feel like it's so strong, especially in these Islam. Muslim communities, which is so special.
It's all because of those laws that have integrated inside their countries that make them feel that they are so free now. True. They can even leave their homes, they can even complain in the courts. They don't know that this is such a healthy outlet, right?
Definitely.
So another reason why talking about feelings is necessary is, you know, when a person, a teenager especially, verbalize their feelings, they know it what is with clarity what they're feeling, because it's not like a jumbled thing in your head. You know, sometimes like some things are going on in your life, but you don't know, you mix them all up. So when you want that communication to happen, a teenager will know themselves for clarity. What is it that they are facing at that point in time? They won't mix it up in their mind. And the mind is such a thing that, you know, so many things can get inside at one go. But verbally, when you're expressing, it's just one thing at a time, right? So they themselves will know with clarity what they are facing, and then you can help them